Second Timothy 3. Let's move as quickly as we can again. And verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine. For now, the term doctrine, from all grammatical connotations, is what we can simply call systematic teaching, which means that it's meant to be a systematic delivery of an information that employs grammar and intelligence. So, scriptures are not just meant to be read and quoted, they're meant to be explained. That's what we're doing this morning. For a proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We've already gone through how did the Bible come to us. And we said it came through human authors who communicated and transmitted it through the human cultural context. That's what God had to use. And that cannot be denied at any point. We mustn't deny the human element of scripture. The moment we do it, we get ourselves in a conundrum. We must accept it because that is what God's word is to us. It comes through humans. Now we said that we must accept the world in interpreting text. We've said the grammar, the context. You must, as a student, rework the grammar in the contextual way that I've always said that can breed understanding. I've also said it, that God expects us to keep interpreting His word to our world. I'm waiting for a time where translations can change the verse structure. I know that may be a huge radical step. But I'm sure that, I think Otto Ways or J.B. Phillips' version, they ignored the verses and just put it in paragraphs. We're waiting for the time where we can do that as often as possible. Now, the challenge that will come with, I gave a proposal somewhere. It was knocked down, not because it wasn't good, but I was getting too idealistic. So I told them, well, even though I don't have the authority to do this with your own work, I said sometime in the future, I'll find a way around it, that we can actually, you know, what they said was, it will become a problem. So, if I'm reading scripture now, we don't know which one you are using. Since you have changed your verses, so which Bible do I know you are using? I said, well, maybe each local church should have, well, chapter 4. In my church, it's chapter 3. You know, that's the way the Septuagint is. Septuagint, its structure seems differently. That may become problematic, I know. But I suggest a time will come where we can say, for the sake of this teaching, let's look at it like this. And we will not be out of sorts with the theology. Because I believe strongly that the present structure of the Bible that is universally acceptable has limited our understanding. I strongly believe it. And God will help us, may take us years, will push for a radical reform in the way scriptures are read, grammatically speaking. So you are in the structure. And then we now said, and I think the core, what I'm hanging on right now, is what was the theology? Now the theology would definitely have to accept the background. So we said the background of the rebellion, we brought out three. Genesis 3, Genesis 6, Genesis 11. Let's go back there a little bit. Genesis 3, which as a background of Genesis 1, heaven and earth. Now, heaven is Shamayim. Again, let's look at their grammar. Why do they use heaven? So let me explain why they use the word heaven and why today we miss the interpretation. Look up now. You know, let's go right. I know I taught this in Seated on High. Let's read Genesis 1 so you understand how to, when we say heaven, I guess it will take a while, but some of us are thinking, okay, so that means that Adam and Eve first of all flew up. No. Let's look at it again. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So we have heaven and earth. Shamayim and Eretz. Space. So, earth means space. It also means people. Okay? So it's a compound word for spaces and people. The earth was without form and void. Watch this. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. This is heaven and earth. The Spirit upon the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So he went on and on. Now, let's pay attention to something. Then verse 6. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters, waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters, watch this, which were under the firmament, and the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. So we had underwater, we had above the water. Then he says, and he called the firmament heaven. Now, where is he doing this work? Verse 2 and 3. Where? In the earth. Are you getting this? So which means in the earth he made what? Heaven. And evening and the morning were the first, were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one space, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And he called the dry land earth, and gathered together the waters called the seas, and God saw it was good. So we have in the earth, heaven and earth. So we have a space where man is, and we have the visible and invisible. We have the natural and the supernatural. Is this making sense? Uh-huh. So the earth is falsely known as heaven and earth, or natural and supernatural. So, watch verse 14. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let there be for lights and firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. It was so. It be two great lights, and we saw that that's the ruling lights. Now look at verse 20. Let the waters bring forth moving creature that has life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth, where? In the open firmament of where? The heaven. Okay? And the moving great wheels and all that. So we have creatures in the heaven. Abi? Creatures. Good. So verse 26. Or 25, God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle of the kind, and everything. So we have beings, alright, flying in the firmament of the heaven. They have 28, 26. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Now 28, look at the repetition. Dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over every living thing that, so fish of the sea will be under, right? The world in the earth under. Then we have fowl of the air. So, go to Exodus 20. Verse 3. Thou shalt have no other Elohim. Right? Elohim is spirit being. Come on. Elohim, spirit being, before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth. Is this talking about animals or spirit beings? Huh? Okay. So we have three worlds. Heaven, the earth, and under the earth. Thou shalt not bow yourself to them. Is he saying, don't bow to animals or gods? Huh? So is this a Genesis motif? Are you getting this? Look at Deuteronomy 4. I've told you that it's a pre-science era. Don't read science into the Bible. Maybe the New Testament, but the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 4, verse 15. Take it therefore good unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day. That word is temuna. Yeah, temuna. On the day the Lord spake unto you in Oreb out of the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the image of any figure, likeness of male or female, likeness of beast that is on the earth, likeness of any winged fowl. That means that, now, you know there's something called figurine. Figurine is when you, let me use it in today's world, you see maybe like a statue. That statue is a figurine. That statue is not, pay attention, is not the Elohim or the God. It's like the house of it. It's like a giving body to it. So they are not stupid enough to be thinking you are talking about a physical element that they constructed themselves. They are saying that this represents or this mirrors a supernatural being. That's what's going on. So watch this. The likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth, lest you, now look at it. It says, don't corrupt yourself with beasts. Pay attention to this. Male or female, it says, beast on the earth, likeness of any winged fowl that flies in the air, of anything that creeps on the ground, likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest you lift up your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, you should be driven to worship them and serve them. So is he talking about inanimate objects or spiritual beings? Host of heaven. That's what he calls them. Host of heaven. So go back to Genesis. Genesis 3:1. So where is Eden again? High up? Huh? Is Eden heavenly? Okay. But where? In the earth space. So the serpent was more subtle than any beast on the field which the Lord God had made. Is this serpent a host of heaven? Part of the host? Huh? Supernatural being? Good. So this is heaven and earth. This is a heaven and earth reality. Is what we're reading. Genesis 4, we're seeing that. Genesis 6. It came to pass, verse 1, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Now, the Hebrew is in man. That was very important. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. After that, the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. They became mighty, which were of old men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of men. Let me read the Septuagint for you. I know we've done this over and over again. So sons of God here, heavenly beings. Very good. So this also an a heaven and earth narrative. Genesis 6. I'm going to read verse 1. Substitute. It happened when humans began to become numerous upon the earth and they had daughters, the angels of God. That's what the Septuagint, the Greek New Testament, Old Testament, having seen the daughters of humans, they were beautiful. Is this chaos? Chaos. Very good. They took for themselves women from whom they picked out. The Lord God said, my breath will certainly not reside, this is the Hebrew, will not reside in these humans for very long, because their flesh, but their days will be 120 years. Now giants were upon the earth in those days. After that, whenever the sons of God, so what the Septuagint is showing you is conundrum. He uses angel, son of God interchangeably. Entered into, now what I want you to notice here is the Septuagint is whenever, which means this didn't happen once. The sons of God entered into the daughters of humans, they fathered children for themselves. And those days, he said, were from long ago, the people were of renown. Now, can you see an illegal incarnation here? Illegal. So, we have seen two illegal actions. Genesis 3 and Genesis 6. So, you see that Jesus' recovery of space had to do with this. Genesis 11. So, is this heaven and earth? Okay. Genesis 11. And all the earth was one language, verse 1. And there, I'm reading the Septuagint now. And there was one voice for all. And this happened when they moved from the east. They found a plain in the land of Shinar. Okay. They found a plain. What is plain again? Like a forest. An agricultural resort. And we said that in that world, it's a contact with the... Remember now. Just like Abraham, just like Jacob, we've done this study already. Now, they said one to another, go to, let us, I'm reading King James again, make brick and burn them thoroughly, and they will add brick for stone, and slime there for mortar. And he said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, that is the Ziggurat, a temple complex, whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. So, heaven here, right, shows you we are also dealing with what? Heaven and earth. Are you there? So we have heaven and earth in these three scenarios. So here is God speaking to Abraham. Genesis 15. Abraham is thinking maybe it is Eliezer. And he tells him in 5, he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Tell the stars if you are able to number them. So shall thy seed be. So the stars here, supernatural world again. So shall thy seed be. So we have, so are these stars also called sons of God? Hosts of heaven. Remember we said that if you come to the New Testament, that's what is now replaced by body of Christ. Right? Saints. The church. I will repeat it again. Except Galatians 4, where he separates a son from an heir. And that's what he does, Galatians 4:7. And it's taking its cue from a Greco-Roman culture where they are also adoption of Galatians 4. It's not an Hebrew interpretation. So that's the only place where son, where you are called son. Okay? Son, a single person. And again, it's inferred. Every other instance, sons, it's plural. So it's a collective. Now, I didn't say you should not sing, I'm no longer, I am a son of God. I didn't say you should not sing it. But it's good to know that it's a collective term. Sons of God. Right? Where you have a son of God is because he belongs to that group. So, that group is what we now call the church. Stars. Stars. So, which means that in redemption, God will recover man into the supernatural world. Is it flowing? Huh? Look at Genesis 22. So you find a heavenly language being used. Genesis 22. This is Mount Moriah. In blessing, I will bless thee. In multiplying, I will multiply you. Genesis 22, 17. As the stars of heaven. Now, why is he saying this? Why is he suddenly telling Abraham, as the stars of heaven? Let's give you the background. Genesis 11 had happened, where God temporarily allows these sons of God, supernatural beings, to be in charge of places. Let's put it like that, right? Right? So, in our course, Abraham, Genesis 12, to recover it, to put man in his right position, Genesis 2:15. So he says, in blessing I will bless you, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. Supernatural world? Huh? Okay. What about the sand that is upon the seashore? Same thing. Sea is what? Supernatural world too. Supernatural world. That sea shall possess the gates of thy enemy. I remember, you know, we had this argument some years back. It was the 90s too. And a friend of mine said, we'd all be thinking that, well, when he said the sand at the seashore, that's Abraham's natural truth. It was clear that the one that refers to stars is supernatural, but that the one for sand is natural. So when I asked the question, I think it was one of us I asked, I said, well, why would he be referring to his natural seed as... I would say, well, number one, it's not even biologically possible. Number two, that Abraham's seed is not natural. So which means that the sand at the seashore and the stars are both supernatural indications. Is that clear? So which means that it's foreseen that there will come a time you will call men sons of God. Yeah, we have the concept already in the Old Testament. Exodus 4:22, Israel is my son, my firstborn, 23, and different other instances in the prophets. But here, we have men sitting in the high, sitting in the heavenly. So when we hear, we are seated in the heavenly, it's because God said to Abraham, as the stars, those stars are called host of heaven. So today, the body of Christ is in the host of heaven. That part of hopes also just means what makes up heaven. That's what it is. Body of Christ. So these instances are supernatural indications. They are supernatural events. What happened in Eden is supernatural. What happened to Cain is supernatural. What happened to what happened in Genesis 6 in Noah's day is supernatural. And of course, what happened in Genesis 11 is supernatural. So, now let us define the curse. What will be the curse? Let's look at it. Are you learning something here? Verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Okay? Now we have God bless them in several instances. Genesis 1:22. God bless them. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters. Alright? So he blessed them, multiply, subdue, have dominion. Okay? So you are writing like Paul, and you are saying he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Think Paul got this? Huh? He got this? All blessings of the Paul now says in where? The, because this is also where? This is where? Heaven. Heaven is where? Here. Is it clear? I've told you that you'll be battling with heaven and where people go to where they die. No matter how much you are saying that you, that's not what you believe anymore. It's going to be coming up somewhere quick. Okay, heaven. They look at someone and say, heaven, heaven. Now, look at the word blessed now. Now three, and he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. So Genesis 2:3 now. So blessed. So now let's look at cursed. Verse 8, Genesis 3. I heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Right? And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Alright. Then, who told you, verse 11, that you are naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? Verse 12, the woman whom thou gavest to me with me came me of the tree, and I did eat. The Lord God said to the woman, what is it that you have done? The woman said, the serpent. I mean, it's been like that since, right? And I did eat. Of course, we find out that the serpent was the one that started fake news. The day you eat of it, the day you do not touch it, that's fake news. You shall not surely die, it's fake news. Verse 14. Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. Now let's see interpretation. Ezekiel 14. Cursed. So that's Ezekiel 14, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. Verse 12. Art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Thou hast cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. For thou hast said in your heart, I was sent to heaven. So I was sent to heaven. A heavenly being saying, I was sent to heaven. I exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the mount. I would ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. So, get back to Genesis 3. Cursed. Above all cattle, above every beast of the field, above that belly shall go, and thou shalt eat, and thou shalt all days of your, thus thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. I put enmity between you and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Then 16, so that's the first time we read cursed. Alright? Cursed to go down. To fall. So we have the woman, multiply thy sorrow, done that before. 17, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of your life. So find cursed. Okay, let's see the effect of that. Genesis 3:23. The Lord God sent him forth from the garden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And he drove out the man and he placed at the east of. So we find curse means to be excluded. Right? Right? Now, is it excluded from enjoying the earth or heavenly realities? That's what it is. That's cursed. So, Genesis 4. Are you learning something? Verse 11. Now you are cursed from the earth. I've told you that the word earth is space. Alright? You are cursed from the space which had opened a mouth to receive thy brother's blood from your hand. And thou, when you till the ground, it shall not yield unto you strength. A fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt be in the earth. Then of course he now says, you put a sign on me. Look at 16. And he went out from the presence of the Lord. So, which means Abel is where? In the presence of the Lord. You are cut off from this. Is it making sense? Now the cursed guy, verse 17, so that you know that it is not natural at all. He knew his wife, which is he had sexual intimacy with his wife, they had sex, and she conceived. He is having children in the curse. And bore Enoch and built a city, and called the name of the city which he built after his son. He has time to even name Canaan's sons. Canaan's sons international company. And Enoch was born. So that's not the curse. The curse is a supernatural fact. Cursed. Let's see someone else who's cursed. Or who is not blessed. That'll be Esau. Genesis 33. Verse 1. Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with 400 men. So Esau had 400 staff. Even today when we are 200 million Nigerians, a Zoom figure, I don't know where they get that figure from. You know, people can count. But let's assume we are 200 million. Okay? If you have 400 staff, I think you are a big boy. Huh? You are not. Both working remotely. And you guys are doing now. Now, imagine a world that maybe they are not even up to 10,000. I think they were using millions. They didn't have millions. Even in Paul's time, they didn't have millions. They didn't use millions. They used thousands. So imagine you are 1,000 and you have 400 staff. That's a big boy or biggest boy or bigger boy. And this guy is cursed. Or he's not blessed. Alpha use is not blessed. His brother calls him Lord. His brother says, I brought stuff for you. Verse 9 says, I have enough. So the blessing, right? Genesis 27, where Isaac blesses Jacob in 28. God give you the dew of heaven, the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve you. Nations bow down to thee. The Lord over thy brethren. Let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee. And blessed he that... So, this is the dew of heaven. This is supernatural. Esau comes and he says, so what do I get out of this? The father said to him, okay, your dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By thy sword, verse 39, thou shalt live and thou shalt serve thy brother. It shall come to pass that when you have the dominion, thou shalt break off his yoke off your neck. So, nothing here connotes natural wealth, not in any way. So, the curse and the blessing are supernatural. So, the moment we're able to locate heaven and earth in the scenarios of Genesis, then the death of Jesus starts to make fuller sense and comprehensibility. We can understand, okay, this is what he did, and this is why he did what he did. All his parables where the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. That's all his parables were explaining the kingdom of heaven. So his death, let's get back here, deals with a supernatural geographical space that is right here in the earth. So Paul and all the other interpreters will capture the work of Jesus from that point. Colossians 2 or 1 Corinthians 2 first. In church. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world or the princes of this world. Now, the word world here, either cosmos or anion, are interpretations of one single word, the earth. Eretz. The earth. And Eretz deals with people. Does Eretz also include heaven? People, space. Yeah. So that's why you come in as cosmos or the word anion. The princes of the world that come to nothing. Now, Paul is not saying, he's not referring to civil governments. No, civil governments only are a manifestation of spiritual authority. He asks us to submit to them, Romans 13, 1 through to 4. He asks us to pray for them, 1 Timothy 2 and 1. So what is he dealing with here is spiritual. Now, 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Colossians 2. And 15. 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was written against us, or against which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, having spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, notice the flow here. Let no man therefore beguile you in meat or drink. That is, we're not dealing with meat and drink. Right? The rest of the holy day or new moon or the Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of supernatural beings, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So Paul is dealing with that here now. Colossians, Ephesians. How did I skip Ephesians? Or let's look at Galatians 4 first. Verse 8. How be then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after you have known God, rather known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Ephesians 1, Paul's prayer. 19, he's praying our eyes be opened. Then 19 says, to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly, far above all principalities and power. So principalities and power cannot be human government. Are you here? Because in the heavenly, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, so that's how you know flesh and blood can be principalities and power. Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. So there's darkness of this world, and that's not PHCN. But they're also rulers of the darkness of this world. But against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. Ephesians 6:12. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenlies might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Philippians 2. So the death of Jesus, does it affect the unseen world? It does affect the unseen world. Is it majorly in the unseen world? Hold on, we're going to answer that. And that's why we get the issue of blood of Jesus wrong and all that. Philippians 2. Wherefore God has highly exalted him. 9. Are you there? Are you there? And given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, we'll be here on the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Where? Huh? Come on, where? Heaven, earth, under the earth. Old Testament language, right? Huh? We've read this before. Is this Genesis language? And Exodus language. 1 Corinthians again. Chapter 8. Verse 3, if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is none other God but one. None other God but one. That's Deuteronomy 6:4. And though there be, let's read 5 together. And though there be that are called gods, whether where? And earth, there be lords many, but to us. So, heaven and earth. So, the death of Jesus has heaven and earth in mind. 1 Peter 3. So, he's going to make heaven habitable for us. I don't know what that means. So that he will now welcome us into heaven with all that. 1 Peter 3. Did you follow what we said about the advocacy of Jesus from the Old Testament? Did you follow that? Okay, the name of Jesus and advocate. 1 Peter 3. Verse 21. The like figure where unto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's take 22 slowly together. Who is gone into heaven? Is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities, powers being made subject to him. Old Testament language? Old Testament language? Hebrews. I'm avoiding Hebrews, but I think I have to go there now. Okay, 1 John 2 first. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Now, the advocate with the Father, which is where we have the word parakletos. Now, this is used in the legal term. Now, we did that study of Job, right? Bringing railing accusations. We saw Revelation 12 with the Father. Now, where does this accusation happen night and day? On earth or heaven? Heaven. So this advocacy is where? In heaven. So it takes care of railing accusations, guilt and condemnations that come against us supernaturally with the Father. We did that study the other time. So you gotta go listen to the serious name of Jesus. So let's slowly go into the book of Hebrews. We'll open the book of Hebrews next week. I said that it's usually where the confusion is because of the way heaven had been interpreted. I'm going to go through some things we said we did yesterday all over again. Hebrews 1. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty, where? On high. So, the finished work of Jesus, I know we are weary of that word, don't be weary of it, just use it properly, okay? The finished work is in heaven. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on earth. Verse 8, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2 says, I'll declare, verse 12, thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise to you. Then Hebrews 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, particularly of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle. And now he says our calling is a heavenly calling. Which means he's narrating heavenly realities. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4. We're here yesterday, right? Rest. Remember rest? Rest. He says, for unto us was the gospel preached, verse 2, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it, for which we which are believed do enter into rest. Now, the word katapausis here, katapausis, again, it's interpreted from the Old Testament. You have words like Menucha, alright, or Noach. As I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For I spoke in the silent place of the seventh day, on this wise, they italicized there. The God did rest the seventh day from all his works. That's Genesis 2, verse 1 to 3. But notice, what was finished? Genesis 2 verse 1. Are you here? 2, 1. Thus the heavens and where? Genesis 2, 1. Look at it. Thus the heavens and where? Were finished and all the hosts of them. So, the rest of God is heaven where? On that's what it is. Did we answer verse 8? Was it Joshua or Jesus? Where did we pitch our tent? Jesus and Joshua. We agreed on the two now. You picked Jesus so quickly. Be objective now. Alright? So, again, Hebrews 4, I'm avoiding a particular text because it's going to open up much conversation. Hebrews 4, 15. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed unto the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be taught full of our infirmities. Okay? Well, all pointing that we are yet without sin. Let us therefore, now notice he's saying that his work is in the invisible world, right? Right? Come on, are you here? Just like 1 John 2:1. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. That means we have access to where now? Heaven, right? That we may obtain mercy and grace to find help in time of need. This is not just talking about sins, right? Like sin. It's talking about imperfections. We have grace to help in time of need. And you notice the word help here, just like Hebrews 2:18, is from Azar, Genesis 2:18 and 19. Hebrews 5. So Hebrews 6, verse 20. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So he has entered for us. Did we look at the other time? What was different between the Old and New Testament? Remember? All these things are coming now. What did he do? We saw that. Jesus did not become, watch this now, he did not become Lord over heaven and earth upon his resurrection. No. The difference now is as a man. We're doing that study. Hebrews 7. Verse 25. The intercessory ministry of Jesus. Wherefore is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than where? Huh? Where? Heavens. Is this Eden? Huh? Okay. Higher than the heavens where? On earth. Hebrews 8:1. We have such an high priest which is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens. So you see that the writer of the New Testament preached Jesus from the supernatural world perspective, context. Verse 4 says, if he were on earth, he will not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Then he reminds them that when Moses was going to build the tabernacle, he was also shown something heavenly. Hebrews 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Then look at 23. It is therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens. So, can you see New Testament writers are explaining heaven from the Old Testament? Are you following this? Should be purified with this. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than this. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So the finished work of Christ is completed in heaven. Hebrews 10 again. Verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that is set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12, verse 18. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched. So which means that all we have been reading so far, remember the mount? Oh, we forget it. Mount is what? Supernatural world that can be touched. They're born with blackness and tempest. Now look at 22. You are come unto Mount Zion. Where Mount Zion yesterday? Were we? Right. Mountains, supernatural place. To the city of the living God. Now did you notice that we are reading geography here? Huh? We're reading geography. City, geography. Huh? Mountain, geography. Jerusalem, geography. Mount Zion, city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, innumerable company of Huh? Sons of God? Stars? To the general assembly. Host of heaven? Come on. Right? Church of the firstborn. Written where? In heaven. To God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than... So, if he's using blood, and you are still in the material world, after all he has said, you need laying on of hands. The use of the word blood. Hebrews 13. Verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Everlasting covenant. Why? Because what we are dealing with is supernatural. Everlasting covenant. So, did sin affect heaven? Abba. Did sin affect heaven? You see that heaven thing, right? You're struggling. Did sin affect heaven? Huh? Did sin, okay, did sin happen in heaven? Maybe that will make everything just scatter. Did sin affect heaven? Will the death of Jesus affect heaven? Heaven. So the blessing of redemption will be our fellowship with heavenly realities here on earth. So there's been chaos, right? Chaos will be, we have the chaotic beings, Genesis 3, Genesis 6, Genesis 4, Genesis 11. Chaotic issues. Because you know, we said that. If you look at Genesis 1, and I was going to teach at the Workers' Congress, I never eventually got to it, I wanted to, convention. Now in Genesis 1, and this sets the tone, the earth was without form and void. Of course, Genesis 1:1 is heaven and earth, and heaven and earth, we said, is a short form of what? Temple, right? Temple. God's sacred area is heaven on earth. So Genesis 1:2, the earth was without form and void, chaos, tohu bohu. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. So what does he do? He separates the light from the darkness. So the first thing we see is order. Alright? Order. Order means, now that's why I say it is good. Good is tohu. Tohu doesn't mean perfect. It just means proper. This is proper. Light from darkness, proper. Uh-huh. Right? Supernatural and natural walking in the same space, proper. Right? Things increasing and multiplying, proper. Spiritual beings taking hold of the heavenlies, proper. Man now put over the works of God's hands, proper. So, good is not perfect. If it is perfect, things would not have gotten bad at all. So, good simply means perfect or, sorry, it means orderly or proper. So, the question again, I'm going to repeat it. Did sin affect heaven? Huh? Did it consequently affect the earth? Right? So, the blood of Jesus will have to follow it very well. Exactly. We have to follow the blood, though, and see which one remains in that blood. So Romans 5 quickly, and just leave it at that. Romans 5. So we had seen the word chatar. We said it's miss, right? Right? To miss. Genesis 4:7. To miss. But if you notice, what God said to Abraham was, who did you listen to? That means, you did not listen to me. Who did you listen to? And Paul is going to bring all that scenario all the scenarios here now. Romans 5:12. By one man, sin entered into the world. Amatai. Amatai is used for missing the mark. Where you are, you know what you call booze? I have this, what do you call it now in my house? What do you call it again? Darts. Yeah. So I've never gotten the mark. I think it was Brokola that got the mark. He's the only person that has gotten the mark. So I'm always close. So, and not me, but many of us have missed the mark. Just, you didn't get it. So, it's usually believed that that's the connotation. But the point is that, what will be the mark? Now, what have we seen as the mark yet? The mark is for man to function from God's space. Is that it? Huh? So what will be seen? Not to function, to be less of that. To be less of functioning in God's space. So we must keep looking at the Garden of Eden archetypal story to function less in God's space. So sin entered into the world, yes, Paul, and death by sin, so death passed upon all, for all have sinned. Again, grammatical doesn't mean that everybody has sinned. This doesn't even make sense, because he's now going to break it down. In case you took, because he uses sin here, amataya, which is both a verb and a noun. And the way Paul uses sin here more as a verb than a noun. Over them that had not sinned. So sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned. Verb. After the sin of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of that which is to come? Which is transgression, which is the figure. Now the word there is parabasis. I used that illustration the other time. I think for Nigeria, the best is you should use traffic lights. Traffic light says, Fela sang a song in the 70s. For Oju Elegba, for Oju Elegba. What do they come from? I think there was no bridge then. What do they come from? Right, bana. What do they come from? Left, bana. The center cause confusion till now. For Oju Elegba, for Oju. That is, that place, cause, stop! Chaos. So, how it is, remove the chaos. We're going to put traffic lights. So if you are coming from this side, at some point you stop. In fact, right now, they've improved it. They now put timer. So in case you are in a hurry, relax. So that is chaos. I mean, order. So it's expected that it just will make order. So that's why we have order. So order, right, is human. It's for humanity to function in God's space. So we have this car. I told you the guy, and he was taking me, and he said, when I said, this traffic is on red, he said, okay, there's no police, and there's no car coming. He said, I've looked at it. Look at how he said, there's no police. That is, he doesn't see it as helping humanity. There's no police. And he says, there's no car coming. Which is very funny. So, I told him, I said, well, the way Lagos government works now, the thing has CCTV. Say, hey, that way, it's not the only one that drives this car. That's the Nigerian way of thinking. So, I like to always tell them that relax, that this thing is for all of that. It is too much. Order. So, he moved. Now, what he has done, let's define sin. What he has done is that he has created chaos. Right? He has created chaos. Now, what has he done? Now, chaos is the spirit is missing, right? Right? The life of God is missing. Chaos. Chata. Let's break it down. Then Paul says, parabasis. To violate an instruction. To go beyond a boundary. He has done that. He has gone beyond his boundary. Thou shalt not eat of it. Parabasis. Paul doesn't stop there. He now says, verse 15, not as the offense, paraptoma. Paraptoma. Paraptoma is to take a wrong step. So, he has violated, he has gone beyond his, let's say, limits, restrictions, instructions. The step he has taken, paraptoma. Now, the way paraptoma is used many times, it goes into human relationships. So we find also disorder. Now, who can point out where we can find that in human relationship? Is there disorder in Adam and Eve? Yes. In the relationship. Who told you? Who did you listen to? Okay? So we have that. Then, it doesn't stop there. Then in verse 19, one man's disobedience. There's another word used for sin, unrighteousness. 1 John 1:19. Unrighteousness. Okay? Where you have the Greek is diakosune, right? Righteousness. Now you have, now this is disobedience. Parakohi. P-A-R-A-K-O-E. Now, notice that except for amataya, all the descriptions of sin have para. Para is beside. Beside. To go beside. Parakohi. Parabasis of that, parabino. Then you now have parakohi. That is, you are listening to the wrong person. Disobedience. Not to listen to God or His word or the voice of God or the voice of the word of the Lord and to something else. So this sets the tone for what he now says later. Verse 21. As sin has reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ the Lord. Now again, forget, eternal life is basically known by the Jews to mean the reign of the expected one, the Messiah. The reign of the expected one. Or put it like this, all the walls, all the things God has done in all the ages, they come together in one world, then they stay forever. Something like that. So eternal life is never a personal possession. It's like going into a room, right? Going into a space, entering into something. That is what eternal life is. So we would take it up from here next week. We'll see what happened in the heavenly.